Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Joining us from Doha now, Gavin Cooney, sports writer with the42.ie. Gavin, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. I hate to do it to you, but Serbia were your call for the potential dark horses of this tournament, and I'm watching as they try to come back after a goal from Cameroon in the last few minutes in their match. It's not going so well for them.
No, looks another flop there, I'm afraid. I was just waiting for your call to come through. I was watching this game. I saw Serbia miss the post, or hit the post and miss another sitter a couple of minutes later, thinking, oh my word, Cameroon are going to score just as I dial into the programme. And how about it? They're 1-0 up. So yeah, any listeners who took my predictions to the bookies, you can send your invoices to me after the show.
I think, in fairness to you, I think a lot of people are in the same boat with this World Cup, because it's thrown up so many surprises. That game last night that we were all waiting for all weekend, Spain versus Germany, was the first real heavyweight clash, wasn't it? What did you make of the two teams?
I really enjoyed it. I was lucky enough to be at it again out in the middle of the desert at the Al Bayt Stadium. Very enjoyable game. It was very tense. I thought it was very tight. I thought Germany were a lot better than people are giving them credit for. But I thought they were really excellent. It was pretty tight. Two teams of very different styles. And ultimately it was the big men up top who decided it. Alvaro Morata came off the bench to put Spain ahead, and then. Nicholas Fulkrug came off the bench to equalise for Germany. So Spain did look a good bit better than Germany at times. But Germany just showed a bit of defensive resolve that they lacked against Japan. And now are probably in a good position to qualify in the final group game, despite that massive upset on match day one.
Do you think Germany, I mean, they're clinging on there by the skin of their teeth. You saw enough last night, you think, to carry them through?
I think so, yeah. They changed the team a little bit and brought in an extra midfielder. I think having an out-and-out striker in Fulkrug will probably be of benefit to them. And I think I can't exactly remember the maths off the top of my head, but if they win their final group game against Costa Rica, who do, in fairness, okay, Costa Rica upset Japan, but they were pretty fortunate to do so. They've had one shot on target across two games and somehow have 3 points. But I think they should have enough to beat Costa Rica, and then that should more or less see them through, unless Spain wobble against Japan. But again, I think Spain look too good. I have to say, I think we saw two teams that could be at least quarter finalists in this tournament, possibly even further last night. It was just really high quality stuff and the highest quality technique wise that I've seen at the tournament so far.
It felt like that watching it at home anyway, on the television screen. It felt like, now we've started, you know, that sort of moment. But what was it like in the stadium? What was the atmosphere like?
It was decent. I mean, again, there was lots of empty seats as the teams came out in this enormous 60,000-seater stadium, but it did fill up, in fairness. There was a pretty good atmosphere. It was a better atmosphere than at some other games, certainly in that stadium. I mean, I was at England-USA, and I've been at more atmospheric funerals than that, but I think that was partly down to the fare on the pitch. You know, some of the atmospheres at this World Cup, in fairness, have been outstanding, usually because of the fan, usually from the countries who are close to Qatar. So any game involving Saudi Arabia has been fantastic. Involving Morocco and Iran have been fantastic. And then the Argentina games have been next level, just because Argentina are less a football team than they are this kind of writhing, seething pit of emotion. There's just so much going on with Argentina. Yeah. And I think that's why we want them to do so well.
And listen, going back to England then, there was a lot of weirdness around that performance. As you said, it was flat, but they seem to be flat by design. Is there a sense that they're conserving themselves for the later stages?
I think so, yeah. This is what England did at the Euros last year, and obviously they were within a width of a post of winning the tournament. They really did pace themselves, having won the opening game. They played a game against Scotland and drew 0-0, showed very little ambition to win it. And it was the same in Doha on Friday night against the US. They were fortunate not to lose the game, to be quite honest, but there was no zip and no intensity, but seemingly by design. Gareth Southgate and Harry Kane were singing off the same hymn sheet afterwards, saying, we're now in a very good position to top the group. Now, England were booed off by their fans in the stadium, and I know that was met by a little bit of bewilderment back in the UK, but if you travel all that way to watch your team at a World Cup, not even to go out and try and win the game, I think I don't blame any fan for venting their disappointment at that fact.
Yeah, and the pressure will be on now for them to perform and be exciting in gaining a win for those fans, you know, who expect payback for making that journey. You were also at France versus Denmark on Saturday. Will we put the green jersey on for a minute, because we're playing them in March, aren't we, in our Euro qualifier game?
Yeah, and then take the jersey off and use it to cover your eyes. France look absolutely excellent.
Yeah.
Because we wondered, like, you know, the France have so much individual quality. We did wonder whether maybe the only people that can stop the French are the French themselves. But they just look a very well-balanced collective unit. And in fairness to the manager, Didier Deschamps, he seems to have won the war with Kylian Mbappe's ego. So Mbappe has sacrificed himself a little bit for the team. Now, he's not running himself into the ground or anything, but he's playing wide on the left. He's allowing other players to take the free kicks in the corners, etc. And he has just looked devastating. He's been the most impressive player of the tournament. Now, Stephen Kenny and his assistant Keith Andrews are at the match, so to scout France ahead of the game in March in Euro 2024 qualifying. He might cling for some optimism to the fact that Mbappe just simply doesn't do defending. He very much is beneath him. I mean, one of the most amazing things to see live, it is breathtaking sight, Mbappe's speed from a standing start.
Yeah.
But then when you see him in the flesh, you realize how committed he is to that standing start. He honestly, when his team don't have the ball, he just stands there looking nonplussed, watching the game go on around him.
Yeah.
So there is space to exploit behind him, but boy, is he frightening going the opposite way.
We were saying that about Spain last night. You know, when you see how fast they break and head back up, you know, when going from defence to attack, it's extraordinary, the pace of that.
Oh, yeah, no, it's just the technique of these Western European sides have been the dominant teams in international football for more than a decade now. And it's just, it's a really obvious point, but it's just the pace at which they do brilliant things is remarkable. And it's such a privilege to be able to see it in the stadium and see it in the flesh. And Spain are just a little bit more direct and more, well, the manager would use the phrase verticality rather than direct, because that would be heresy in Spain to accuse them of being direct. But I think that makes Spain more exciting than they were to watch when they won the tournament in South Africa 12 years ago. Mm-hmm.
That Cameroon-Serbia game, which is on now, looks like a whirling pit of energy. Serbia seem to be desperate to get that goal back. Cameroon are one up at the moment. Coming back to Kylian Mbappe, he posed for a photograph which was controversial with Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner and their children. What was the deal there? What was being said about that?
I've only became aware of it in the last hour, so I haven't seen too much controversy, but it is true to say that Ivanka and Jared have been over enjoying the football, and it just goes to show that football, okay, we love it, is when the world comes together for this great football event and this display of raw emotion, but you know, the world's politicians come together as well. You know, this is a much more expensive, higher end version of the Fianna Fáil tent of the Galway races. I mean, you've got political figures from all across the world coming together. So obviously Jared and Ivanka Trump were here, but we've seen Mohammed bin Salman at games. The US Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, was over for the US games, and he gave a joint press conference with the Foreign Minister of Qatar. He wrapped them on the knuckles over their human rights records and LGBT rights, but then praised them, their great bilateral relationship, and just goes to show how enmeshed, again, this World Cup is with geopolitics, and one of the main reasons, I think, why Qatar wanted to host this tournament.
Now, you touched on Argentina earlier on, and I just want to come back to Messi and that goal against Mexico, because I was listening to Guillaume Balague, our friend who appears on this programme regularly, talking about Messi and saying that he doesn't really feel the pressure. He knows what's expected of him, but he deals with it really well. But I don't know if you noticed, after he scored that goal, I thought he was going to cry. He was really emotional. And as I saw that, I was wondering, gosh, you know, can you imagine what's on that man's shoulders in this World Cup?
It's extraordinary. I've never seen him display such a kind of an intensity of emotion. Like, I mean, with Barcelona and with Paris Saint-Germain, he often looks almost insouciant, Messi, but he looks insecure when he plays for Argentina because there's so much pressure on his shoulders. And I thought he really let that out in after that goal. And, you know, there's been this constant, almost argument over, you know, Maradona is the true king of Argentina. Maradona is in their hearts, but Messi is in their hearts, and to the point where the pressure on him is extraordinary. And we saw it at the previous World Cup, a kind of a rabble of a team had one plan to give the ball to Messi and hope he will score. And the conversation coming into this World Cup was that this is a much better Argentina team who are there to serve Messi rather than just rely on him. Not true. They're completely reliant on him once again, which means we get these amazing burst of emotion like we got against Mexico. But, you know, I mean, I think I did say before the tournament that I really wanted Argentina to win for Messi's sake, but looking at what's around him, look, maybe we'll have further upsets, but it's just France and Spain and Brazil. These look like proper teams. Argentina really don't.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, but you just worry about how the team are going to cope with this. I heard an Argentinian journalist on the BBC the other day saying that the government is saying, yeah, we know inflation is bad, but we'll just deal with the World Cup first and then we'll come back. We'll come back to that problem, you know. And also, there's 40,000 people there in the stands watching that team. The pressure is immense. And then Messi's future afterwards. There are reports that he could be going to Inter Miami, so heading to the United States. Is that in the offing?
Yeah, it seems that may be the case. So that's Inter Miami is David Beckham's team, the team that he owns out in the United States. So that there were reports in the UK media that this was in the pipeline yesterday. Now, what I would say is that Inter Miami they're only a couple of years old, but they already have a history of stories in the UK press linking them with high quality players from Europe. So it remains to be seen whether this is another of that one of those cases or whether it is actually concrete. Mm-hmm. You know, the MLS is kind of a semi-retirement home for top players, really, even though it's a quite fast and physical league. It would seem a bit of a pity if Messi was to leave Europe at the end of this season. But if he does, it only heightens that this is really the last time we'll see him on the greatest stage. Just as I speak, Claire, Serbia have equalised in a flourish of validation for your correspondent here. It's 1-1.
Oh, well
under
done.
The kind of pressure to equalise
well
that
done,
Messi
Gavin.
Was.
Listen, they need to get another one. They need to get another one to get you back on track. Which game are you going to tomorrow?
So I'm on Brazil, Switzerland later today, and then tomorrow it's Iran against USA. I was going to go to England, Wales, but Iran are such an amazing story and England are so desperately bad to watch. I decided Iran, USA is the place to be.
All right, well listen, we'll talk to you really soon. Gavin Cooney there, sports writer with the42.ie, and it's 1-1 Cameroon, Serbia.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.